Today on The Independent, Pete and I react to the surprise firing of wide receivers coach Chancey Stuckey. That and more on today's episode of The Independent. Welcome to the latest episode of The Independent. I'm Pete Sampson, back in South Bend from Northern California, where pretty much news happens on the way home every time. Matt, you're back from your sojourn through the state of Michigan for Michigan-Ohio State.
Allergies are all gone. You can listen to me clearly. Yeah. I listened back to myself, and I was like, oh, my God, I had to put our listeners through that. I'm sorry. It was like midnight. And yeah, the state of Michigan does not agree with
I feel like we can get a sponsorship deal with Claritin or something. But it's been already a bit of a newsy off season or postseason for Notre Dame. We'll get into the Stuckey news in a minute. Just some roster update, which I think is going to continue on for the next week or so. Nana Safamensa, Chris Tyree, Zeke Carell, all in the transfer portal. I expect many more players to hop in there, including some, at least one underclassman who has started games this year. So it's a tumultuous time in college football. Staff changes are part of that. But I don't think that if you said that Chancey Stuckey was going to be let go 40 hours after the end of the season, 72 hours after the end of the season, that either of us would have predicted that. But here we are. We're recording on Wednesday, November 29th. I'm just going to timestamp it because who knows when you listen to the show, maybe more will have happened at 10:57 a.m. Eastern time. Like, it still doesn't make a ton of sense to me based on, one, how good the recruiting was, how young the receiver room was. I understand that the development was maybe not where it needed to be, but still a bit of a surprise, I think, probably to both of us, especially after Marcus Freeman's Zoom on Monday.
None of it makes sense, Pete, at least to me, to you, to really anyone I've spoken to. And that's not to say Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame's administration didn't have their reasons. But look, they schedule a Zoom conference for Monday, and I know for this past Monday, and they haven't done that before. We talked on the last episode. Do you think there'll be news? Probably not. This is more of just like the recruiting rules are changed. He's got some time. Let's have a quick update. And he essentially goes out of his way to say he would like everyone back on staff, which, aside from the fact that's not what the fans want to hear. And again, you listen to fans, you end up one. I get that. But like, that wasn't the message fans wanted to hear. And it's a message you completely went back on less than 24 hours later, and not in the way that everyone wanted to either. And again, these guys know more, have forgotten more about football than me and you will ever know. I get all that. But the logic for Jared Parker staying, I don't really follow. Like the whole in 2017 with Luke Fickle, or what, 2018, whatever the first year for that staff was, I was a first year coordinator. We weren't great, but he stuck with me. Like, that was Cincinnati taking over a 4-8 program. That's not Notre Dame. Like, I don't think there's a direct line between or comparison between that and the situation Notre Dame is in right now. And then to say everyone's coming back, like, that's just a very unnecessary statement that I think hurts your credibility with the fan base, because you don't need to say it. It was almost, it wasn't unprompted, but it just, either something changed over 24 hours, which I don't think happened, at least not to my knowledge, with Chancey Stuckey, or it was just like an unnecessary lie. I mean, especially that early in the calendar, you could say like, look, it's an ongoing situation. We've got recruits, portal, yada, yada, yada. Like, there are a million ways to answer that question without making it sound like you're completely lying. And again, the move, Stuckey himself, very surprising. We all know the receivers really struggled this year. Not telling you anything you haven't seen with your own two eyes. That said, look at this class. I mean, 3 4-star wide receivers are a part of this top 10 recruiting class right now. Chancey Stuckey is a big reason for that. Maybe the biggest reason. It wasn't a great year for the receivers, but the highlights they had pretty much all came from the freshman class. Great House showed promise, even though he was hurt. Rico Flores, I believe, ended up being the leading actual receiver. And there's Jordan Faison, who was a former walk-on lacrosse player who ends up becoming a major contributor toward the end of the season. And you look at the upperclassmen, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of talent there. There were a lot of injuries. again, that doesn't excuse how the room is, but like, you're asking Chancey Stuckey to dig out of an impossible hole. And at least on paper, he seems to have done that as far as adding the talent that he can within that time frame.
It does. Yeah, it definitely feels like a situation where, like, look, when Stuckey took the job, I think he got here and was like, oh, okay, this is the receiver room. There's a lot of work to be done here. And I do think at the end of this 2-year cycle, when the season starts next year, I mean, I'm certain they will lose some guys through the portal because that's college football in 2023. But if you're returning Greathouse, Flores, Faison, if you're bringing in Cam Williams, Micah Gilbert, Logan Saldate, it's still young. Jaden Thomas, I think, will be critical to balancing out the room. And then I think you want to find, hopefully, another Caleb Smith from Virginia Tech who sticks. Like, the transfer portal and wide receivers, like, those two entities were made for each other based on the nature of that position. Like, receivers are jumping in all the time, which means you can pull them out all the time. That, I think, should suit Notre Dame well. But it was just, it's very strange to me that, you say you want everyone back, and then 18 hours later, you don't. Because I don't think anything really changed from point A to point B. And, the development of the room, I get it. They had one 100-yard game in 25 games with Stuckey as a receivers coach. Like, that's bad. But if continuity and sort of consistency was, if that's really a thing, as Marcus talked about, then I would think that you want to double down with Jared Parker and the offense and where that's going, so be it. It feels like Stuckey is sort of a fall guy for the passing game not taking off with Sam Hartman, which it did not. And there are multiple reasons for it, but maybe it just gets back to, like, this is, Marcus Freeman is a young head coach. He's not a first year head coach anymore. He's about to be a third year head coach. This is kind of a different circumstance that he's going through right now in terms of how do I jumpstart this offense, but how do I have account? How do I hold people accountable? How do I create an offense where there's some demanding expectations about, like, if you don't meet them, then there's not a spot for you. I don't know how you create all those things, but it definitely was an awkward point A to point B from the end of the Stanford game to here on Wednesday back in South Bend.
One of the best parts of starting the Independent podcast was a chance to pick the brands we wanted to work with, and Rollback was at the top of my list. As the owner of multiple polos, hoodies, Q-zips, and shorts, I can tell you the quality, fit, and feel is unmatched. You've probably seen Rollback on Audric Estime, Kyle Hamilton, and Michael Mayer. Or maybe you saw the dozen Notre Dame fans wearing the Shamrock polo at the Central Michigan game last weekend. I can tell you I saw Rollback gear in Dublin earlier this year. While the gear hasn't made me quite that athletic as those Notre Dame football players, Rollback is my go-to on the golf course, heading to the lake, watching my kids' sports, or just walking the dog. So make sure you're comfortable throughout the season with Rollback. Use code IRISH for 20% off your first purchase. That's code IRISH for 20% off all hoodies, polos, Q-zips, and more.
Matt, what have you always said is my biggest weakness on fall Saturdays?
Well, Pete, I'd say your hair, but who am I to talk? Let's go with your wardrobe.
Harsh but fair.
ESQ outfits over 400 professional athletes, celebrities, and Irish players on game day with bespoke clothing that elevates their game off the field. ESQ sculpts every garment with precision, helping you look your best for work, weddings, celebrations, or in your case, Pete, the press box.
Listeners of The Independent can get 15% off their first online order by using the code IND15 at checkout. That's IND15, or visit them at their Chicago showroom for a full custom look. Head to esqclothing.com to create your perfect fit.
I think I'll be curious to see how this plays out, because I don't know, again, not to keep coming back to Monday, but, he says one thing, he does another. And so I don't really know what's going to happen next. Jared Parker obviously is the quote-unquote interim wide receivers coach. I think you save face here, so to speak, if there were a plan in place for making Jared Parker the permanent receivers coach and then going out and making a splashy OC hire. Now, I don't have any information that would indicate that that's brewing, but I also was taken aback by Chancey Stuckey getting let go. So it's been a surprising week all around these parts, and I'll be curious to see where they go next, especially, you know, a lot of people go in the portal, have gone in the portal from Notre Dame. The only real ones where I was like, none that had me jaw drop. Now, Chris Tyree is a significant loss, but an understandable one for a guy who's been in college forever. Zeke Correll, starting center, you know, is notable. But they're going to add to the portal, as Marcus Freeman said on Monday. I think the guy they're going to go after the most is not in the portal yet, but just lost his head coach and could be, we said it's about Sam Hartman, but could be a game-changing quarterback for Notre Dame next year from the same state and conference that Sam
also
Hartman.
Could face his former head coach while Notre Dame's quarterback. I mean, I don't think it's much of a secret that, you know, Riley Leonard will be, if he jumps in the portal, very coveted. Notre Dame would be among those schools to do it. I think we both talked to people in the last 72 hours or so that would indicate that if Leonard jumps in, Notre Dame would be likely landing spot. I don't know how much that changes how you view what Notre Dame could be next year offensively. Would it change if there was a different OC? I don't know that either. It's there's a lot up in the air for Notre Dame offensively right now, but like, I mean, you're probably more familiar with Leonard, the player, than I am. He's certainly he would be a different type of quarterback than what Sam Hartman was or what Steve Angeli could be, in terms of like how the athleticism part of it. But he's still more developmental than Hartman was, or Jack Cohn was before him, right? Like it would just, seems like he would be somebody you'd take. And then if you said there was a competition at the position, I would tend to believe it more than I ever did with Cohn or Hartman.
Yeah, I could see that. Now, he was banged up this year, obviously, after that Notre Dame game, and you saw Duke without him, right? It was just a different football team. I mean, they were winning at Florida State deep into the second half, and he got hurt, and the game was over. They lost by like 18. The guy's really good. He's a guy who I would have thought, you know, at his peak midseason, we'd see get drafted and go into the draft this year. Now, it's a very crowded draft class for quarterbacks this year, as you all know. So I can see why he wouldn't want to do that, especially when we see all the NIL money that Sam Hartman was presumably making at a place with as big of a brand as Notre Dame. So I see why a guy like Riley Leonard would want to move on. Obviously his head coach left and he's got to, you know, see what happens at Duke moving forward. But, you know, this could be me reading between the lines. Maybe Marcus Freeman meant this way. Maybe he didn't, but you know, he went on a long, you know, answer Monday about how they're evaluating everyone before they go into the portal, so that when they do go into the portal, they know who they should and shouldn't be going after. I read that as Riley Leonard without saying it was Riley Leonard. I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that's a guy that Notre Dame really wants. You know, Will Howard was a guy who was rumored about for a while. I'm told that's cooled. It's probably not going to happen, probably because Riley Leonard is likely to happen. So we'll see what happens there. Different quarterback. Again, I assume he'd be committing to, you know, offensive coordinator Jared Parker. But that was, you know, some of the, I don't want to say excuses, but some of the reasons I had gotten for why there probably wouldn't or won't be a change at OC was essentially, you know, Jared Parker walked into a situation that wasn't completely his own doing. He got the job late in the calendar. He already had his quarterback, and no matter how poorly Sam Hartman played, which he did for stretches of the season, like that was your guy. You were never going to bench him, right? Mm-hmm. That was kind of the deal, so to speak. Gino Guiduli came in. That was not a Jared Parker hire. Now, again, I know he's worked with Marcus Freeman in the past, and there's familiarity there. But everything, and again, I'm not justifying this. This is simply, you know, information I'm passing along. It was, you know, we need a year of continuity where all of our ducks are in a row, so to speak, on that side of the ball. They don't feel like Jared Parker was given a chance to kind of do everything the way he would as a quote unquote autonomous offensive coordinator, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And it's, I can appreciate the continuity point of view. I'm not sure that the Al Golden parallel really works for me. And I know that's how Marcus Freeman presented it. And it makes sense that he presented it that way. But, you know, Al Golden returned Kizer, Bertrand, Leafau, Mills Cross, Watts, who was not Xavier Watts as we know him now at the beginning of the season. You know, but Ben Morrison, Cam Hart, you sort of knew what you're getting there. Javonte Jean-Baptiste was sort of the big add there. But my point is that the continuity that Al Golden had was sort of in concert with a roster that was returning. Not in full on defense, but they returned a ton, and that was an old defense. What they're returning in offense next year, as we just talked about, they're going to be new at quarterback. They will almost certainly lose both offensive tackles. Their starting center is gone. They seem to already feel good about their replacement in Ashton Craig. Audric Estime, I think we'd be shocked if he was at Notre Dame next year, you know, based on the nature of the running back position. Chris Tyree is in the portal. It's not an offense that is returning in the same way or even close to how the defense returned this year. So the continuity, while it could be true from a coaching point of view, is not going to be true with the roster to go with it. So it's just kind of one of the situations where I understand continuity. I'm not sure that you're not just starting over anyway. Like if let's say Riley Leonard is Notre Dame's quarterback, the offense has to change. Right. He's a completely different player than Sam Hartman is. The run game with the quarterback would be a feature, not a changeup. That's totally different from where they were this season. So
not to cut you off. Hartman proved he could do that at Wake. I think part of the deal was I'm going to approach to not offense, have to
do it right.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look better for the NFL and yada yada yada. And
yeah,
I don't know what the conversations are like with Riley Leonard, if there are any. But I'm with you though. I think he's at his best when he can show off his athleticism.
Yeah. I mean, he's a hard guy to bring down. So that's, it just is a situation I think with Notre Dame where you're like, okay, what are you going to, even if you bring the offensive the staff back, the personnel is going to be so different that, you know, what do good coaches do? That you cater your system to your personnel. Right. You know, the vocabulary is the same. The coaching style is the same. There's value in that. I don't want to downplay that, but what your strengths and what your identity is will change quite a bit. And how you coach around that, how you lean into your strengths, but also figure out a way to like coach around your weaknesses from a personnel point of view is critical. I think that was kind of one of the things where Notre Dame struggled this year. They couldn't quite get how to work around the fact that they were young and inexperienced at wide receiver in a way that made the offense go. But it's just like, I mean, you look at, we mentioned this already, but like I'm just sort of going over the receivers they signed from 2019 to 2022. You know, Kendall Abdur-Rahman, Cam Hart, Jordan Johnson, Xavier Watts, Jay Brunell, Deion Colsey, Lorenzo Styles, Jaden Thomas, Tobias Merriweather, and then they had commitments until the end of CJ Williams and Amorian Walker. That's, I think, 12 wide receivers. And they totaled 127 catches at Notre Dame. Like,
they include Watts in their interceptions.
It does not include Watts interceptions. Good point.
Probably was the leading receiver in that regard.
Yeah, he was. I mean, definitely outpaced Jordan Johnson and Jay Brunell. But you know, Chris Tyree moved over, was productive. But it's just like they really went 4 years without finding a productive receiver. I think Jaden Thomas is one, but he just was hurt this year and got it short circuited his whole season. But you shouldn't be in a position where one hamstring sinks your entire wide receiver room. And that's unfortunately where Notre Dame found itself. And it just, I don't know where that you know, where the responsibility lies, but it's certainly not on Chancey Stuckey in full. And yet here we are, and that's the change that gets made.
Especially with the recruits coming in, right? I mean, I think he's shown at the very least promise as a recruiter. Now the development part, again, you can look at Saturdays and you can have fair questions about that. Again, Deon Colsey missed 8 games this year. Jaden Thomas missed 2. Matt Salerno missed 8. I'm with you. Like, again, Matt Salerno's a former walk-on. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, there goes our pass game because this guy's out for 8 games. But every time they lost a guy, it had that feel because there was no real legitimate number one threat.
Yeah, to go and it's like you go back to, I mean, I remember, I think I've chatted with Reese about this like a year ago, like post-Bowl. Like, if you look at like the biggest moments of the Gator Bowl, like Matt Salerno was involved in them. Like he was incredibly reliable and tough. And they just, they lacked that presence in the pass game on top of losing Jaden Thomas. So I think you would ideally not want the loss of Salerno to be as debilitating as it proved to be, but that's just sort of where Notre Dame's receiver room is because of, you know, the recruiting hits and misses that I read off. So it's just a tough situation. It's, you know, the story that I wrote today on The Athletic, I just, you know, you go back and you think about what Jared Parker said about Chancey Stuckey roughly 10 days ago. It's, you know, highly complimentary about the development of the room. It's how we can't let ourselves get stuck in this position again. And then 10 days later, there's a change and it's kind of hard to just get your head around the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a lot to process in a very short period of time. And again, it just the sudden nature of it is what leaves me wondering, like, is there another domino here? What could be next? Because my understanding, Chancey Stuckey was very surprised by the news, as was everyone else, especially in light of everything we heard on Monday. So you know, where do they go from here at this position? Right? I mean, is it they need to hire that? They need to hire a strength coach. We'll see what happens with staffs elsewhere. You know, to go back to, we'll go back to the parallel that you brought up with Al Golden in year 2. Again, no guarantee Al Golden's here for another year if the right NFL DC job opens up, which would leave you in a tough spot because that probably wouldn't happen until January or February.
And I mean, just to enter it into the record, Syracuse did fill since our last show. I think that we both saw that as like, this might be a place he could go. Ultimately did not.
Yeah, maybe Duke. I haven't heard anything, but I'm just looking at potential fits. I could see him working out there. But I don't buy the parallel that Golden's year 1 to year 2 at Notre Dame is a blueprint for Parker or really anyone else. I mean, Al Golden's been around the block. He's seen and done a lot of good stuff, seen and done a lot of bad stuff. Like, the guy's nothing if not seasoned and like qualified, if you will, to be there's no one. Notre Dame's defense has a bad game. If they blitz Ohio State in his first game and lose on a touchdown pass on 3rd and long, no one's saying Al Golden is out of his depths as a DC at Notre Dame. Like, he's been there.
He's highly qualified.
He has good games. He has bad games like anyone else. Jared Parker, that's still a question because of how he kind of fell into the job and because of, frankly, how they performed in their biggest games this season. I mean, it was feast or famine. It was feast against teams you were better than, and it was famine against teams that you were pretty much equal or lesser than against. So I just don't buy that narrative, that kind of parallel. And, you know, continuity is nice, but what's continuity in college football, right? I mean, Marcus Freeman got the job after they let Tommy Reese stay on as OC and Matt Bayless stay on as strength coach because it's continuity, right? Well, both those guys were gone within a year. Right. You know, there's turnover, good and bad, in and out of your control at every program every year. I don't think continuity should be your selling point, so to speak, as far as position coaches, coordinators, et cetera. There's right now a wide receiver staff opening, a strength coach staff opening. Again, college football being what it is, like, we're not even at conference championship weekend yet. There will be more changes, some good, some bad, some we probably didn't see coming, like this one. They have good coaches on the staff. We're going to be in high demand elsewhere. The continuity aspect, I don't follow that logic in the year 2023.
Yeah.
It's like the portal, right? I mean, like, every roster turns over so much every year because of the portal. Like, it just, it is what it is.
Right. And it's just, there's some of it you can see coming, like Nana Safamensa moving on, you can see coming, but then you're going to have situations where you're going to have departures that you don't at all. You know, and I think we even look at Notre Dame staff, like if Dylan McCullough got an NFL job or a MAC head coaching job, we could sort of see that coming. Al Golden, we could sort of see that coming. But I don't think either of us would have sat here at this time last year and thought like that Chris O'Leary and Chancey Stuckey would interview with the Baltimore Ravens. Like there's, and I say that in the sense like there are surprises like that where like we don't know how the industry sees these coaches. We think that we do sometimes, but especially at the NFL level, we really do not. So it's, you know, it's just a situation where I think that it's hard to read, you know, continuity is just like sand slipping through your fingers. Like you have it, like if you're, because you're going into the portal to get another quarterback, like opposed to, you know, going with the guys on your roster now, which would be continuity. So it's just, it's kind of one of, it feels a bit grab baggy where you could like, okay, we're going to have continuity here, but not there, but yeah, we're going to try to get it there, but don't worry about it there. It just, it's a little bit all over the place right now. And I think it's just sort of what college football is for 99% of the schools in the country. And Notre Dame is in that 99%.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. Bowl destination will be revealed 4 days from now. I think we know the destination. We don't know the opponent. And there's a lot of drama that can come with that. It's funny. Brian Kelly has been this week since LSU is not in the conference championship game and their season, the regular season is over. Brian Kelly has really put on his like old Massachusetts political hat. And going on Feinbaum and really pumping up Jaden Daniels for Heisman, which he might win it. I have a vote. Unlike several, I'm actually going to wait till the games are all finished this weekend to vote.
Why? I don't understand that.
I don't know why they even opened the ballot before then, but that's another rant for another day.
Yeah. Really, you just need to watch the Pac-12 championship game. You can submit it Saturday morning, right?
Possible. Yeah. I don't know. Jalen Milroe going to throw for 400 yards and upset Georgia. Probably not, but it's just funny seeing LSU really, you're seeing the power of the SEC and it just means more. It feels like the whole SEC is behind this guy right now to get the Heisman in a way that you don't see other conferences really do that for their talents. And again, you've got to do that when you're not playing on the final marquee weekend of the season. But
Brian Kelly is used to. I mean, that's
he is used to.
He's had to stump for his program on championship weekend without playing in it before.
He's also left his program on championship weekend when they had realistic chance of making the playoff during championship weekend. But I just keep coming back to the whole good, not great comment after Alabama. And I'm just like, man, like, just can't get out of your own way sometimes. I've not seen whether he's commented yet or not, though, on the potential of playing Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman got asked about it.
Yeah.
I don't think Brian Kelly said anything.
No, it just to be clear, like the idea of Notre Dame matching up with LSU or Tennessee, that would have to happen in the ReliaQuest Bowl, which is January 1st in Tampa, the old Outback Bowl. For that to happen, Ohio State needs to finish probably fifth, but at least higher than the highest rated SEC team that does not make the college football playoff. It doesn't
have anything. Bama loses, it'll happen.
Yeah, it's just like I was imagining a world where Alabama loses 31-30 and they jump Ohio State. Like,
in that scenario, possible.
Yeah, it's a very small like window to hit for Ohio State not to be going to the Orange Bowl, which opens the ReliaQuest Bowl. If for some reason that does not happen and Ohio State makes the college football playoff, then it's the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and we can imagine Marcus Freeman eating a Pop-Tart mascot on the field after the game, presumably after beating like Kansas State or Oklahoma State on December 28th.
Oklahoma State again? Really? Again?
Yeah, it's like they're the LSU of the Big 12 in terms of bowl opponents. So that's where Notre Dame can get to Tampa versus get to Orlando. I don't see a scenario to get anywhere else, and if you may disagree with me, but like I would say that the odds of Notre Dame going to the ReliaQuest Bowl are what, like 85% at this point? Like it's kind of hard to see how they can't end up there based on where Ohio State is.
70 to 80. Again, I wouldn't completely write off Alabama. We did that 2 years ago in the same scenario when they play Georgia.
Yeah.
And they beat them pretty thoroughly.
But even if, like, even if Alabama beats Georgia and makes the playoff with Georgia, Ohio State would still end up in the Orange Bowl. True. Like, so that it's a really weird scenario where almost Ohio State has to make the playoff for Notre Dame not to go to the Royal Iowa Quest Bowl. And that is highly unlikely to happen.
Exactly. Are you anticipating any more portal entries or additions, I should say, because I know they've been active in that regard?
Additions for sure. I know I've had a source tell me that Marcus Freeman has flat out told players like there will be another Gervonta Jean-Baptiste from the portal.
I think you just like saying that name.
Yeah, I do. It really rolls off the tongue. I'm surprised. Like, it sounds like a priest that Father Nate would hand out as a prayer medal sometime down the road. But yeah, it just, that's going to happen. There will be at least one wide receiver. We've already talked about what they're doing at quarterback. I think some of it depends on if Jack Kaiser departs, you would go get a linebacker. If Xavier Watts departs, you would have to find another safety. So I think that they need some decisions to get made at other positions. If Riley Mills doesn't come back, maybe you need to get another defensive tackle. You know, I expect Howard Cross to return to the team next year. So it's, I think there's a certain amount of like, okay, we need to wait and see about who we actually have to work with. Like, if there was somebody like Holden Stays departed through the portal, and you have Eli Raridan returning and Cooper Flanagan, but Mitchell Evans is still coming back from an ACL, do you poke around on that one? I'm guessing probably not, but you just, I think you got to be flexible. Like, maybe somebody, there's a surprise in the running back room. I think you just have to be very nimble if you're Notre Dame and sort of keep, and that's why I asked Marcus Freeman about evaluating the portal 3 weeks ago, is once they hit the portal, you got to know whether you're their take or not. But you also need to know who's coming back on your own roster. And I think Notre Dame is in the process of figuring that out, like, as we record this podcast.
I mean, you're seeing that right now, right? It used to be like the portal was new. A handful of us had access to it. We tweet out who's in it. And now it's, you know, this morning I saw a couple people saying like KJ Jefferson expected to enter the portal from Arkansas. He immediately tweets or posts a picture saying like, I haven't decided anything yet. Where's this coming from? There are numerous other examples of that so far this weekend. Like, call it tampering, call it whatever you want. Like, there are very few surprises, I think, to the people who are actually, you know, the actual staffs who might be interested in these guys and the staffs who are currently coached these guys. They don't wake up like me and you, see the portal and say, wow, this guy went in today. Why don't we look into him? It's free agency. It's college football in 2023. Like it, don't like it. Doesn't really matter. It's not going anywhere. It's interesting. It's definitely, it's made our lives more exciting.
It's turned college football into a 365 day year sport in a way that recruiting never quite got there. No.
I would even add the early signing day, which is for all intents and purposes a signing day, has lessened the impact of signing day in general.
Oh yeah. No, I think it's killed off the buzz of recruiting because it's at a terrible time of year where people just don't have time to invest in high school kids. And on top of that, there's the subtext of they could leave at any time for any reason, which is also kind of like, it's hard to invest in a guy that he's going to need 2 years to develop in this college football program before he plays. And there's a 50% chance that he would leave before then anyway. He may not work out at all. It just is, you may go get a grad transfer to his position. Like, it's hard to get emotionally invested in recruiting the way that I think people did in the past, just because there's so many workarounds to it.
And I just, like you mentioned Syracuse at the top of the show, it's a job that I thought Al Golden would have been great at. For basically the reasons you just mentioned, right? They hired Fran Brown. I don't know Fran Brown now. I've not gotten rave reviews about this hire from people who are familiar with him and with the Syracuse program. But, you know, clearly this was a recruiting move from a guy with Northeast ties. They, in the headline and the first sentence of the press release, they said the nation's number one recruiter is taking over Syracuse. I don't know what that gets you at a program like Syracuse, where you're not near a whole lot of talent. You're competing against some blue bloods in that conference for talent. And even if you flip a few of them, to your point, Pete, if you're a really good player at Syracuse your sophomore year and you see Clemson across the sideline, you know, you can play with those guys. There's a better chance than not you're not sticking around. Like, I think that's a program where you've got to go with the old school developmental method and coach the hell out of these three stars. It just, you know, win 6, 7, 8 games a year on a good year. I don't see that working out because I just don't think that profile works. And again, different schools with different intentions and dreams for their football program are going to have to look at how they develop and recruit and retain. And Notre Dame's kind of in that middle ground right now, right? They just can't take anyone, but they're also a team that wants to compete for national championships. And that starting next year should be in the playoff every year. That's not going to happen every year, but like, you don't go into every year right now. If you're Notre Dame. So I'm saying you're not, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're not going to go into any year moving forward saying, well, I don't know if we're going to be a top 12 team this year. They start top 10 every year, just not their name alone. So playoff will be the realistic attainable goal every single year. If the 12 team was this year, it would have been a realistic attainable goal this year. And you need to do everything you can to make sure you're in that mix every year.
Yeah, there's no question. It's the calculus for success and failure is going to change at a place like Notre Dame when the playoff expands, because you're right. I think that the fan base is pretty realistic of that. The playoff at a 4 team is an aspirational goal, but it's not always something you're going to attain. And if you don't attain it, just I'm not saying that's okay, but it's not the end of the world the way that it is at Georgia or Ohio State or Alabama or Clemson. 12 team will be viewed a lot differently. Like that's going to be sort of the, did you have a successful season or not? Did you make it? And it may even be it may quickly turn into, did you win one or two games or not? That's a successful season. So look, what Notre Dame looks like next year is very much under construction right now, as this week has shown us, and next week and the week after and the week after that. This is not going to be a quiet season at Notre Dame. Fortunately, that's what the Independent is here for, to fill your AirPods with all sorts of Notre Dame talk. Matt and I, now that we're into our first postseason with the Independent, I think we'll be doing this fairly regularly moving forward, get some guests back in the mix. But I don't know, Matt, I don't know if we're going to have an emergency podcast in the future. Like I definitely thought about it as I was checking out of my hotel in Half Moon Bay about, like, you know, 2 years ago, I was podcasting with Matt Fortuna at my desk while my kids were locked up in the bathroom playing Go Fish. Some things great, just never change. Yeah, it's great parenting advice. Some things just don't change. But yeah, the Independent will be here for all your Notre Dame news and reaction needs, because it's gonna be a newsy offseason, I have a feeling, around here.
Yes, it's already newsier than I thought it would be, and the season's been over for 4 days so far. So gear up. We're here for therapy, to talk it out, to speculate, and to see what happens next, because it's going to be a different, much different looking team and program next year than it was this year.
All right. On that note, we'll call our first postseason episode of The Independent there. He's Matt. I'm Pete. Thanks for being with us. Again, a reminder, you can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube feed, like, subscribe, rate. Helps with people finding out about our show. And we will probably talk to you next week when the next bit of news happens around Notre Dame, because it just feels inevitable at this point. So until then,
we'll have a bowl destination. It may be
a bowl destination at minimum. We can have Brian Kelly walk down memory lane if necessary. So good times are in store, everyone. So until then, he's Matt. I'm Pete. Thanks for being with us on the latest episode of The Independent.